And we shall be turned, renew our days as of old. So there's a good prayer for a Calvinist who doesn't think he has a choice in the matter. Ask God to turn you.
Jackets on. I should have kept mine on.
Okay. Turn thou us unto thee. And that's a good prayer we all should be praying.
Lord, I do thank you for your words. Lord, turn me unto thee. And I do ask you to help us to be
good. Keep my heart tender towards thee.
Help us to believe what they say.
Okay. When you answer that prayer, we shall be turned and renew our days as of old. The good old days.
I do pray that you'd
But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against
Lord,
us.
Lord, I thank you for a place that we can meet.
Okay. The rejection of them is Proverbs 13:13. And
amen.
It says, whoso despises the
Lamentations
shall 4:21 be destroyed,
and 22,
but he that
Jeremiah
feareth the commandment
two
shall
groups
be rewarded.
Of people.
So the reason for this rejection in verse 22
they would be two
is because they rejected
brothers.
What God said.
So the first one
it goes
says,
way back to Saul. Remember when Saul rejected what God
glad,
said? God said, kill all the Amalekites.
Okay, so
he didn't
who
do
is
the
Edom?
Job.
Genesis
1 Samuel 15,
1,
the Lord said,
Esau
you rejected my word, therefore I will reject
so
thee.
So where is Edom that dwelleth in the
and
land
sadly,
of
sadly, what's
Uz?
Happened to the church today?
Okay, that's the same place that Job
rejecting
was.
Rejecting this book.
Now, and then he says,
for the church's sake, thank God, you have eternal security.
Also pass through
but
unto
the church
thee,
is following the same pattern of Israel.
Thou shalt be drunken, thou shalt
Israel
make thyself
naked.
Okay, what's he
okay,
talking about?
And the church is apostatizing toward,
okay,
Israel, toward God.
Is God's
and, of
wrath.
Course, that's a Bible prophecy of Laodicea.
Where the previous, everything previous
okay,
to
and
this
so
is
it's
God's,
gotta be the Lord
God's wrath on Israel.
That's
going
to help Israel repent and turn
and
back
then
to him.
At the end of that,
he's going to do that for them.
Then he addresses
at the, end of,
the
end of
main
70
culprits.
Weeks, that will be the completion
be
of Daniel's 70
or
weeks. Their sin will be forgiven.
Instigate
they will be
more
restored.
And more persecution,
and
harassment.
Then the Lord will set up his kingdom.
Whatever you want to call it.
Okay,
abuse,
so that's, let's see, that's
in
the end
tribulation
of Lamentation.
Time period,
so,
and that will be the Edomites.
Any questions or comments?
Or common religion of today, the Muslims. And so this idea
okay.
about Esau and Edom. Okay, so Edom will be the descendants of Esau, and then the Israelites, the descendants of Jacob. So you have two brothers, and then their descendants come down, and in reality they are continue to be called brothers. Okay, and the reason why that's significant is when I mentioned 1 John. Okay, what is the motivation of Edomites? Ezekiel 35. Okay, how is it that these people over in the Middle East haven't gotten over a 3,000-year-old grudge? Or a 3,500-year-old grudge, or even more than that. Okay, Ezekiel 35, the entire chapter is about Edom, Esau. You'll see in verse 3, he mentions Mount Seir. Verse 2 also, Mount Seir. And then you run that throughout the Bible. And then in verse 11, the Lord takes an oath. And when he takes an oath, he is setting something, etching it in stone. He says, therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will even do according to thine anger, Edom, and according to thine envy, which thou hast used out of thy hatred against them, Judah. And I will make myself known among them, and when I have judged thee. Okay, so that's the entire chapter about that. Isaiah 34 is another entire chapter about it. Okay, that one he says, Edomia, he's got another title there, Edomia. And it says that burning pitch is going to ooze up because it's the lowest place on earth. And it said that whole region is going to turn into a literal lake of fire that a person can walk by during the millennium. Okay, and the reason why God is doing that is because of their envy of Israel. They want to murder. That's why they want to kill them. Okay, the end result of envy if a person fulfills their attitude of envy is murder.
Okay, Obadiah, the little book of Obadiah, it's got 21 verses. For about the first 10, 11, 12 verses, he's addressing his thoughts to Edom. He says Edom is a proud, smug, egotist. They're ratting out the Jews. They're persecuting the Jews and everything. And then in Obadiah, verse 17 to 21, the Lord says, Edom is going to be stubble. Judah is going to be fire. Okay, and he's going to allow the Jews to come after the Edomites at the end of the tribulation time period. Okay, if you would, in Malachi. Okay, why do these people have such absurd behavior over there? Well, one is the judgment of God. Another is holding a grudge or maintaining one's anger for days, years, centuries on end is an open invitation to the devil. Malachi 1, verse 3, he says, I hated Esau, laid his mountain as heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Okay, dragons, another Bible word for devils or reptiles portraying Satan. He says, devils. In verse 4, whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the borders of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. So that's the Bible summit, peace accord, Middle East peace agreements. Okay, get together and read that, and boy, it'll be a real joyous occasion. Okay, these people have an envy against Israel, and they are going to be the main instigators. The 200 million man army can easily be assembled just by, you know, an order from the Muslims to start killing the Jews. Okay, so that's in verse 21. Okay, the cup in verse 21 is the cup of God's wrath, where God is going to pour it out on the Edomites and all nations at the end, after he's done with Israel at the end. Okay, in verse 22, the punishment of thine iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. I went through Zion last week. Okay, so is accomplished. The writer has jumped into the future, present tense. Okay, Jeremiah historically is saying it's accomplished, but doctrinally this is jumping into the future. The punishment is accomplished. So that will be the end of Daniel's 70 weeks. And then it says, O daughter of Zion, he will no more carry thee away into captivity. So that's how we know he has jumped into the future, because historically when Jeremiah wrote that, they have been carried away captivity. So he's jumped into the future. Israel's punishment has been accomplished. Okay, and then at the same time, right after that, he will visit thine iniquity, O daughter of Edom. So now he addresses back to the Edomites. He will discover thy sins. And so that's Obadiah, verse 17 to 21. You want to take some time and read that. Okay, now, if you would, go to 1 John, the very first book in the Bible, first book or letter, that uses the word Antichrist is the first epistle of John. Okay, and then 2 John, he uses it again. 3 John doesn't mention, Jude doesn't mention, Revelation doesn't mention. Revelation uses the word beast. Now, in 1 John, remember that the general epistles generally are doctrinally aimed at tribulation time period. And so that's why Antichrist is used. But there's an interesting statement in 1 John 3, verse 15. And so what this does, this sets a large gap where a person in the tribulation can recognize that these Edomites that come after them do not have eternal life. They are not saved. 1 John 3:14, We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I know a lot of believers that don't love the brethren. Okay, but we, generally speaking, tribulation, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Okay, the brother in context is Jacob and Esau. So the Jews will understand in the tribulation time period that when the Muslims are coming to kill them, they know that these people are not God's children. In verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Okay, and so doctrinally aimed at tribulation time period, so this is a way a person can see the large gap between the Edomites and the Jacobites, and that God is going to wipe out totally the Edomites, okay, now not Egypt, but the Edomites, because Egypt, you're going to read about them in the millennial time period, but he's going to complete this destruction of Edom after, right after he gets done with Israel, then he's going to turn Israel into flame, Edom into stubble, okay, and then they're going to face it, and that's going to be the final United Nations decree. No more, it's done. God says, I'm in charge, I'm the Holy One of Israel, Edom's done. Okay, and United Nations can scream all you want. You can scream and cry all you want because Trump moved the embassy, is going to move the embassy to Jerusalem, tough apples, I'm in charge. Okay, and it's good to see that some nations are going along with that. Guatemala's one, and a couple others are going along with that idea. That's good. Thumb their nose at the United Nations, okay, because they do not have Israel's best interest at heart, nor God. Okay, so that's the end of chapter 4. Now, chapter 5, the writer, the person is back into the tribulation time period, and he's going to start describing some things going on. He said, remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Okay, praying to the Lord, asking for his God. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. Okay, if you go to Israel, it's like that today, where Israel have a pocket here, goes to Israel, pocket here is the Muslims, a pocket here is Israel, pocket here is Muslims. And if you go from place to place, then you got to go through checkpoints. So it says, our inheritance is turned to strangers, foreigners, our houses to aliens, illegal aliens, foreigners. Outside of Israel. Okay, so we are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. Okay, we are orphans and fatherless. That will hopefully ring a bell with a term in James. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. So that puts us in the same footing. Okay, so during the tribulation time period, the Israeli army will not be as successful as they have been. They will be fighting against God also. Okay, so what happens? They're going to be killing them right and left. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. So they got to buy their drinking water. Our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution. Okay, our necks. Why? They get beheaded. Okay, our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. So they're appealing. They're made an agreement. Given hand, they've shaken hands, made an agreement, trying to get some bread because they're starving to death from the Egyptians and Syrians. Of course, they're not going to help them out. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Servants have ruled over us. Okay, servants. African race are ruling over them. The Muslim race are ruling over them. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. None. That's including the United States. In the tribulation time period, there will be no nation supporting Israel as a corporate body of nation. There'll be pockets of people in each nation. That will be the sheep and the goats. But as far as foreign policy goes, nobody's going to help them out. Zechariah 12, verse 3 says, Jerusalem is a burdensome stone. People will be so tired of it, they just want them wiped out. Verse 9, we get our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Okay, now what wilderness? Okay, if it's the same wilderness as they wandered through in the Old Testament, then that would be Saudi Arabia. We get our bread. How are they going to get bread in the tribulation time period? He's going to rain manna down in that same region, Micah chapter 7, verse 14. But then they got to go out and capture it. But there's something that is constantly monitoring that area, just like any type of surveillance systems that people have. And this amazing death cloud will be monitoring over this area. And if they catch any of the Jews outside of the rock city, this death cloud can throw out something out, nuclear radiation or something out, and it will kill people that it lands on. Okay, shadow of death. That's in Psalm 23. Shadow of death is found 21 times in the Bible. Okay, so if it's a shadow of death, and it's got to be a death angel or death something or a grim reaper or something that's floating in the air, and when the sun comes out, it creates a shadow. And so if somebody's in Petra trying to gather some manna, and they see this shadow come over them, okay, that's a warning to them that something can be spewed out on them and can kill them. So they run back in and hide in the caves of Petra. And that's what Psalm 23 says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Okay, why? That's a millennial passage. So it brings them back into it. That shadow of death is an interesting study. If you have that's the advantage of a Bible computer program. You can type in phrases. Shadow of death. Type in that phrase. Occurs 21, 22 times. Type in workers of iniquity, that occurs about the same amount of time, and they are both in one passage together. So that jumps it into the tribulation time period. Workers of iniquity would be the people and the beings, the demoniac kings that are fulfilling the bidding of the Antichrist, because he could only be in one place at one time. Psalm 5:5, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge who eat up my people as they eat bread? So they are instituting cannibalism. Okay, I've had a fellow that's purchased a reference Bible, and he's sent a couple emails to me about some strange happenings throughout the world. And one of the emails was, there's a restaurant in Japan now that is allowed to serve human meat. Okay, so this is in Japan. Of course, Japanese, if they're evolutionists, what's the problem, right? Okay, and then there's another place, he sent me another one, where somebody is producing purses and leather products made from human skin. Okay, and so what you can see that they're cheapening life. They're cheapening man, who is made a little lower than the angels, and making us cheap. Like, you know, cattle or whatnot. Of course, who's going to decide to get what skin or what flesh? Somebody that thinks they're a god, eventually. And that just shows the closer we are to the Lord's coming. So, in verse 9, it says, we get our bread with peril of our lives. That's why the famous prayer that Jesus authorized is, give us this day our daily bread. They're praying for help. Why is it like this? This is the manna, but yet the bread worldwide will be a famine. That's the next verse. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. So that takes us to the black horse in Revelation 6, where they have a worldwide famine, 3.5-year famine. People are starving to death. Matthew wrote, it is going to be the worst time ever known to man. Thank God for the rapture. Okay, and so verse 11, what's going to happen? They They, this context will be the Edomites, they ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. Okay, there are doctrines in the Muslim faith that allows the rape and pillage of women during times of jihad. Okay, and so that's approved of. In Zechariah, it's called they rifled them, where they take a rifle and beat them. So what will they do with the leaders in Israel? Verse 12, princes are hanged up by their hand. Okay, by their hand or their thumb. Thumb's part of the hand. The faces of the of elders were not honored. No respect. They took the young men to grind, and children fell under the wood. Okay, so they're taking boys and girls and using them as slaves. Okay, if you would look in Joel chapter 3. Now, this is happening today as we speak, as I speak. Rich sheiks in Saudi, rich people in Saudi, will send people down into Ethiopia or in that region. They will kidnap Christian children. And they will bring them back to the Saudis and use them as slaves. And they'll use them as in human trafficking. And they'll use them as sex slaves. Okay, this the news media, United Nations, not going to do a thing about it. Joel chapter 3. In verse 2, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land, and they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Okay, so that will be the preceding. At the beginning of verse 2, that's the judgment of the nations, the valley of Jehoshaphat, where he separates sheep from the goat. But then what happens before that is at the end of verse 2 and verse 3. Okay, so again, we're looking through this doctrinally. Okay, the children fell under the wood, so they're using them as slaves. Verse 14, the elders have ceased from the gate. Okay, the gate is where business dealings are taking place. Political agreements, judiciary agreements. They took the young men, the elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. The joy of our heart has ceased and dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. Oh, they're starting to get it. Okay, and this is getting toward the end of the tribulation. Why are we suffering all these things? It's because you sinned against God. He told you this in Deuteronomy. He told you this in Leviticus. If you turn your back on God because of the deal you made at Mount Sinai, then God is going to do this, and God is fulfilling his part of the agreement. They sinned against their God. So, exclamation point here. It sunk in. We have sinned. Okay, that's right. Verse 17, for this our heart is faint, and these things, for these things our eyes are dim, because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate. The foxes walk upon it. Okay, foxes, wolves in sheep clothing. Okay, Jesus called Herod that old fox. Okay, and so, mountain of Zion, thou, O Lord, remainest forever. Thy throne from generation to generation. So now this individual is focusing upon the Lord God. Okay, now where does he mention something like this in the New Testament? Where he's focusing on the Lord, that the Lord God is forever and ever. Okay, if you would, Hebrews chapter 1. Now isn't it interesting? It would land in Hebrews. Bible is such a fascinating book. The writers of this book could not even come close of being this precise without the leading of the Spirit of God. God's so precise. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish. Okay, the earth and the heavens are going to perish. But thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. So this tells us doctrine that Hebrews is jumping to the end. That's why it's called the last days in chapter 1. So Jeremiah, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the Jews are recognizing the reason why we're suffering, the reason why we're under the wrath of God is because we've sinned against God. So they're starting to get right. Okay, the first step to knowledge is to recognize one's ignorance. And the first step to spirituality is to recognize my sinfulness. So he says, Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? Okay, now the person's throwing out the question, forever. Is he using that as a never-ending time span? Or is he using that in a time span where we often will use it? Man, I stood in line forever. Okay, so you can run that. In most cases, it's referring to a never-ending time span. Okay, but that's this person thinking. Because God has promised his unconditional covenant, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I, the Lord, change not, and the sons of Jacob are not consumed. And then in 1 Thessalonians, he says in the New Testament, that God's wrath is given to them to the uttermost. Now, the new Bibles, a couple of them, will change forever. No, that's not true. His wrath upon them is to the uttermost, but it's not forever. In the church time, they're an enemy of the gospel, but yet for the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. And so in verse 20, this is...